I'm David W. Berner, and this is The Writer Shed. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. If you haven't been part of our podcast, our listening audience for ever, if you've never done it before, I'm welcoming you particularly to this next four podcasts. This is the School of Joyful Writing. This is what we have labeled this series of four podcasts to come here. It'll be on the 15th of January, the 1st of February, the 15th of February, and the 1st of March. So a four-part series here. And it is not like your typical workshop. We are going to talk about why we write, how to find a practice, what it means to you, what you're trying to accomplish. Not so much about exercises, although we're going to have a few of those that I will put at the end of this this podcast and all the subsequent podcasts. And I also have a link that you can find on my website at www.davidwberner.com. You don't have to say the W's anymore, do you? But sometimes we still do that. So it's a four-part series, and it's called The School of Joyful Writing. As I mentioned, there are four parts. Let's go through those parts for you so you know exactly what you're getting into. And it's absolutely free, of course, part of the podcast series. So today we're going to talk about why you write and why you should write. Sort of the creative process. Talk a little bit about why that's important to you and how to find a way to fit that into your life. Not necessarily about discipline. We'll talk about that in another time. But really about why you want to put words on paper. In all its facets. The second part, which comes next podcast, it's the first step to beginning a writing or creative practice. How to build a practice. It sounds a lot like, you know, yoga or working out or finding a spot to meditate, right? Sort of a practice. But that's exactly what I mean. It is a practice. Writing is, whether you're going to be published or not, if you can find a way to fit it into your daily life, or at least your weekly life, it can be absolutely joyful and absolutely important to you. Not only the fact that you want to write and maybe you want to publish, but the idea of writing your thoughts down, of telling stories, it's a very human thing. So that's number two. That's the second part. The third part, the third podcast will be, what do you want to write? And how to find out what it is you want to write. Now, a lot of people said, I want to learn to write, or I want to write a memoir. Many people have said that. I teach a lot of those kinds of workshops. Other people say they just want to write stories. They want to write fiction. They want to write a novel. They want to write short stories. They want to write essays. They want to write good blog posts, whatever it may be. But what is it that you want to write, and why is it that thing? What is the inner workings of why that is the thing you want to write? And then how to build from that. So that's the third podcast. And the final podcast is committing to a creative life. How to meet your dreams on a regular basis, far after this final podcast. How to commit to it. Not only finding your practice, which we talk about in the earlier podcast, but now committing to it. Finding it as being a way of life. I think I've developed that in my own work. It's become a way of life for me. Whether I publish something I read or not, I write because I have to. I just feel like it's necessary in my life. It's a creative outlet, but it's also a sort of a mental outlet. So we'll talk about that. So those are the four parts. Before we get started on part one, let me talk a little bit about me, if you don't know who I am, where I come from, and why I'm even the person to listen to on these matters. My background is mainly in broadcast journalism. I have done a lot of magazine writing, and I did a little bit of newspaper writing many years ago, did a small amount of television journalism. But basically, I've been in radio journalism, radio broadcasting for many, many years. When I was in my mid-40s, I took a little bit of a sabbatical from that work and started to teach. I taught in a relatively small school in a fairly big school district outside of the city of Chicago. I took on that job because I was gifted it in a way, in that I got a scholarship to be able to teach in a small school that was considered a troubled school. And that experience turned into my very first book. That is when I really started to write. Now, I was always writing because I was a broadcast journalist and I was writing, but it was different. It was journalism. This was personal. And it was a memoir called Accidental Lessons. That was my first book. I have now 11 books, memoir and fiction. Some of them have won awards. I don't want to sit here and pat myself on the back, but you should know who it is you're listening to here and why. I think that maybe I can, help you find your place in the writing world. So I've written a lot of books. I've won awards. I'm happy about that. I've done a lot of workshops. I taught in higher education for 16 years. I taught storytelling and writing for radio and in other forms, documentary. So I have a lot of storytelling background and a fair amount of teaching background. So that's kind of where I come from. And that's why I think maybe I can help you a little bit with your journey about how to fit writing into your life and what it really means. So now let's begin the part one of the School of Joyful Writing. This part and all the parts that will come after this, all four of them, will be right around a 25-minute mark or so. So you don't have to spend a lot of time. But I think what I'm going to try to say here, I'm going to be concise, but I'm also going to be as meaningful as I can be for you. You don't want to spend a lot of time listening to me speak about writing. You want to get to writing. But I think helping you with a little boost for the new year here is what we're going to try to do. So I want to begin part one here with something from a book that I love and a writer that I love. You may be familiar with Patti Smith. Patti Smith was considered the rock music poet, the punk music poet for a lot of years. She's a very, very good writer. Her book, Just Kids, was a book of the year many years ago. She wrote about her time with Robert Mapplethorpe, the artist in New York City. It's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful memoir, but she's also written some great personal narratives. She's a really good writer. She's a really good poet. And I really urge you to read her. If you only know her about her music, if you only know her because of her music, you're missing something really, really, really joyful, really dramatic, really helpful. She's great. So what I want to talk about is what she wrote at the end of a book called Devotion. It's part of a series by Yale University about why we write. And it has asked some of the writers of the world to put together their thoughts about why they write. And many of them have taken this on in very different ways. Well, Patti talked about her trip to Paris and how there were these little seeds of a story that came out of that trip to Paris. And then she talked about how that became a story. And then she allowed us to see that story, the development of that story, the story itself called Devotion, the short story. And then she wrote at the end of a book, Why We Write, Why She Writes It All. And I think this is something that really kind of kicks off this joyful writing series. This is what she wrote at the end. What is the task? To compose a work that communicates on several levels, as in a parable, devoid of the stain of cleverness. What is the dream? To write something fine that would be better than I am, and that would justify my trials and indiscretions, to offer proof through a scramble of words that God exists. Why do I write? My finger as a stylus traces the question in the blank air, a similar riddle posed since youth, withdrawing from play, comrades in the valley of love, girded with words, a beat outside. Why do we write? A chorus erupts, because we cannot simply live. I love that. I really, really love that. And that really sparked this whole series of the Joyful Writing School, School of Joyful Writing. That section in that book really sparked it. So let me talk about what this really means. What does joyful writing mean and what are we trying to do here? So in my process, I have always tried to work with the word joy as my fuel. But writing roots are in the demands of daily journalism. That was my background, the broadcast journalism to be very specific, and it's very what have you done for me in the last 15 minutes kind of discipline. It does not permit being and focusing entirely on the doing. Production is really what's wanted. It's produce or die. But my writing life after the journalism work, and even though I'm still doing a little bit of that, my writing life is of a memoirist, an essayist, a personal storyteller, a novelist has been one of my frequent productions too. So I'm a doer, and that comes from journalism. I feel like writing is a thing that you do, a craft, because my journalism background. But I also think for you, you have to say, how much do I want to commit to this, and how do I move forward? How do I do it every day? How do I do it every other day? How do I do it on a regular basis? So my journalism life has trained me to be this way. I have 11 books in all now. I've written hundreds of personal essays. It's a good thing in many ways. Journalism reminds the writer that your work is a craft and presents a sort of a clear roadway to completing that task. But what is the right road? What does that mean? Well, it may be time to discover the joy in that. You gotta have joy in the writing. Not that the story is joyful necessarily. It may be a tragic story, but you have to love doing it. So along with the production that I do, and hopefully you will do in some way, that you also have to find that creative blood. Let the blood flow. It is time to remind yourself that you want to live a creative life, and once again, focus on the joyful process of working with those words. Take your time to do it. Practice gratitude, reawaken to nature, return to a bit of meditation, any of those things that help you. Find writing is also a practice. I've talked about before on this podcast about contemplative writing. You might want to call it meditative writing. So when I follow that path, I am most joyful. That is my real happy place, if you say. In many ways, this renewal is about that process. So this renewed sense of joy in your writing for this new year, for this School of Joyful Writing, kind of links writing to reflection. And reflection stems directly from spiritual work, whatever that means to you. It comes from meditation, right? And whatever that manifests for you. In my belief, however, a writer can only be truly contemplative or meditative or reflective when he accepts into his heart the spiritual, metaphysical, or mystical world. This is the question of a creative life. This is the essence of it. And the joy is in the byproduct of that. Now, I'm not preaching mindfulness or some kind of spiritual awakening. That's not what these podcasts are about. But I believe the process of writing is metaphysical. It's spiritual in a way. It's mystical. It's magical. I think it's close to the divine in a lot of ways. So how does one move into that kind of state? Well, It's not a how-to. I really don't like how-tos because I think if you don't do one of those things on the list, you kind of beat yourself up about it. So I don't want to do a how-to. I would rather claim a sort of expert list, if you will, that I can offer. Something I've discovered along my way. And after committing myself to joyful writing and reminding myself of three things, I think these are three main things to think about. Not how-tos, but things to consider. So write as if you were praying. Be in that moment of the process. Think of it as a meditative state, an altered state of being, of magic. No matter what you feel in terms of spirituality, whether you're Christian or an atheist, or it doesn't matter, but we all know what praying means, right? It's when we are fully centered on something. That's kind of what I mean. Number two is always remember that publishing is not the goal here. It is a byproduct of this creative process. If you are writing to only publish, then maybe this is not your podcast. If you are writing just to get published, only to get published, your only goal is to get published, then you probably should be writing about vampires or chick lit or something that sells, mystery, something that truly sells. I don't mean to be disparaging about those things or those genres, it's just that they tend to lead to a quicker road, send you down the right road for publication. But if you want to write something different, fiction or you know, memoir, personal essay, personal narrative, don't think of publishing. Don't think about that right away. Get to the work. Tell the story. Be honest. Be authentic. And number three, reflection is the energy that fuels the creative car. It will not run without reflection. Writing does not work without some reflection, even in fiction. Take time to contemplate and the rest will come. Those are the three things I think are important here. They're not how-tos. They're more about an aesthetic in a way. The marketplace is for the general reader. So who are they? Well, they are fickle. And for the most part, they are lemmings. Now, I don't say this in a disparaging way either. It's just simply true. People gravitate to what's hot, what's trendy, what's new, what's on the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Much of the best works out there are not on those lists, not on the bestseller list. Some of the best work I've read and been fully moved by are nowhere close to the bestsellers. They are simply the books that people are buying at a particular mark in time, those lists of bestsellers. Certainly nothing wrong with that. Certainly nothing wrong with writing a bestseller. More power to you. I aspire to find myself on that coveted list sometime. You know, that would be wonderful. But if that is your only goal, I think you're missing the point. If you want to stay sane as a writer and you want to continue to find joy in that work, forget that goal. It comes to very, very few of us. And if that is your goal, you're going to be disappointed, most likely. Write because you have to, as Patti Smith says, because it's what you do. Writing for yourself is a learned process. It doesn't always come naturally, and I believe it takes courage to do that. The best advice I can give on this matter comes from the acclaimed science fiction and fantasy writer Michael Moorcock. Listen to this. Ignore all preferred rules and create your own, suitable for what you want to say. This is, to me, the essence of writing for yourself. If you want to be a writer, you better love what you do. And if you are writing for a marketplace only, well, basically for someone else, it may not be so easy to continue to find the joy in the writing. Write what you would want to read. Yes, you've heard this before, I'm sure, but it is imperative to say it out loud to yourself. Remind yourself. Don't forget it. And as you reach toward this, be ready to call yourself out. Be honest with yourself, with your assessment of yourself. Remember, sometimes we lose ourselves in the craft, the work, and we get caught up in the critiques of others. You should not be writing to be loved or adored. You should be writing because it is what you do. Remember that. Satisfy you first, and allow yourself time to learn how to do this through practice and perseverance. Stephen King has said that he writes for one person, his wife. That's it. She's the marketplace. This is taking the writing for yourself mantra one step further, and it remains a writing for yourself perspective. King is not writing to a marketplace. He is writing to two critics, himself and his wife. When a writer is asked these questions, who's your reader? What are they like? The answers are many times hard to define and present us with a kind of exhausting proposition. The better question is, why do you write? And the better answer should be some version of, because I love it. Otherwise, you are a mindless worker on an assembly line, and you have lost what may have brought you to writing in the very first place. So resolve to make your goal to write for yourself. It's the best gift you can give yourself as a writer in 2023. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of, I hate to use the word exercises because I'm not real big on exercises or assignments in these kinds of things, but a couple of things that might help you kind of spark your writing process a little bit if you're just beginning. Two things about that. So first, find a place that you love to write. Wherever that is, a coffee shop, your favorite chair, in bed, wherever it may be. Find that spot that you feel comfortable, that you feel happy, that you love, that you feel rested, meditative, whatever it is. Find a good spot and make it your own. We'll talk more about that in the future. So in terms of things to try, I'll give you two things to try this time around for the first session of the School of Joyful Writing. So the first exercise, if you will, finish this story. Use the following as a prompt and write the rest of that story. It can be very short, very long, whatever you want to do, but this is a prompt. It was then that she realized the truth. That's it. It can be a personal story. It can be a fictional story. It can be a fantastic, you know, fantasy story. It can be a poem. It can be whatever you want it to be. But that's the prompt. It was then that she realized the truth. You don't have to use that line in the idea in the exercise here. Just think about that and what that might evoke in your head. And the second thing, if that doesn't work for you, is this. Write about your first time at something. It can be the first kiss, the first birthday, the first fight you had with your husband or wife or partner or lover, first day of school or work, whatever. The first of something. Write about that. So that's more of a personal essay kind of approach. But you can also make it fiction. But it's the first of something, and it can be the first of anything. So those are the things you should take with you. One, find the place to write, and we'll talk more about that in the future on these podcasts, but also those two exercises. Now, I'm not going to hold you to it, right? It's not an assignment that I'm going to check off when you hand in your work, that kind of thing. They're just some things to think about. You could dismiss them if you'd like. But I think that if you want to keep moving forward and you want to start to find some sort of practice, maybe those things will begin that process for you. So on the next podcast of the School of Joyful Writing here on the Writer Shed, we will talk about the first steps you need to do, the first things you need to do to find a creative practice, to build a practice of writing, to do it in a way that feeds your soul. That's what I hope to do with the second part of the School of Joyful Writing. You can find those exercises I just mentioned on my website at davidwberner.com. There's a little section there for the School of Joyful Writing, and it's B-E-R-N-E-R, davidwberner.com. This has been another episode of The Writer Shed and the first episode of The School of Joyful Writing. I'm David W. Berner. Our music from iRay Music, production and interviews produced in the shed all the time. You can find out more about us at The Writer Shed on Medium, and you can also sign up there for our newsletter and find us on Twitter, too, at Writer Shed Press. The Writer Shed, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.